praises. Praise Yah. I am Prophet Shirley Jophie Young. I come to do welcome this morning. And I welcome everybody here today. Pastor and Sister Day, I welcome everybody here today. Do we have any first-time visitors? If so, let me see your hand. So everybody here this morning is family. It's good to be in the house of God, y'all. Yeah, to praise his holy name. Because he has done so much for us. Come on, stand with me. We're going to pray right quick. Give God some glory. And thank him for what he has already done. Thank him for giving us the strength to be here this morning. Thank him for closing us in our right mind today, y'all. He's worthy of the praise. Glory to his holy name. Glory to his holy name. Oh, God is good. He's so good to give praise to. To thank him for another day. Another day to worship. Another day to look at each other and say, God is awesome. God is up to something today, y'all. And we're going to give him all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Come on, say amen with me this morning, y'all. Amen. Glory. Glory to his name. Glory to his holy name. Oh, he's so worthy, y'all. He's worthy to praise. He's worthy to magnify this morning. He's worthy to lift up. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw man to me. God, we thank you for drawing. We thank you for drawing, Lord God. We give you honor. We give you praise. You are worthy of all the praises. Hallelujah. Thank him. Thank you for what he's already done. Now I'm going to change station. It's time for offering tithes. Are y'all ready to give God some praise for giving us a chance to give our tithes this morning? To give him the glory that know that if it had not been for God, we wouldn't be here today. So y'all got your tithes ready? So God, we thank you for the tithes. We thank you, God, to have a seed to give back to you. We thank you this morning, God, you has made a way for each and every one of us here today. We thank you for your blessing, God. We thank you this morning, God, for all that you have done and all that you continue to do. In Jesus' name. Ursus, y'all can come forward. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Now, you do realize that's not just a catchphrase. That's an invitation. You do realize that's not just a catchphrase. That's an invitation. Praise the Lord, everybody. One more time. Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Okay, we got a little song we want to do real quick. It's called Praise on the Man. I want you to learn the chorus part because you're going to have to sing it with us, okay? So the chorus is going to say, oh, I come to praise him. Praise him. Okay? I'm going to sing it, then I want you to sing it back to me. Okay? Oh, I come to praise him. Praise him, you say. Oh, I come to praise. Next part goes like this. Oh, I come to lift him up. Lift him up, you say. Oh, I come to lift him up. Next part goes like this. Oh, I come to dance. Dance. We're going to show you how it goes. Let's go. Clap. Like this. Clap your hands, everybody. Stomp your feet, everybody. Lift your voice, everybody. And praise the. Now we got another part. Wave your hands, everybody. Leap for joy, everybody. Make some noise, everybody. Now, here come your part, right here. Oh, I come to praise him. Praise him, you'll stay. Do it again. Oh, lift him up. I come to lift him up. Oh, I come to dance. 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 Let's do it again. Oh, I come to praise him. Praise him, you'll stay. Say, oh, I come to lift him up. Oh, I come to dance. Dance. Clap. Come on, tell us, help me out. I gotta do this with Terry. Everybody clap your hands. Let's do that part one more time. Come on, help us, help us. Praise the Lord. Please help me thank God for our young people one more time. What a blessing. We are grateful to all of you parents for encouraging these young people to help us in the work of the ministry. Serving the Lord pays. Somebody did a study and they found out that most of the great success story in our world today, especially in the field of music and movies, they all grew up in the church. And that is very, very good record for the church. So don't take for granted what those kids are doing up there. You never know who God's going to raise up. Amen. And many of you raise children, but you don't allow them to serve in the kingdom of God. This is a serious mistake. So let me encourage you, find something. And the reason why many times we don't encourage our young people to do that is because we ourselves, we are not doing anything. Amen. But at least you ought to love your children enough and break that generational curse. Empower them to serve in the kingdom of God. In case you forgot, Jesus said, no one who have left their father, their mother, their brothers or sisters for the sake of the gospel, they will never go without reward in this life and also in the life to come.
it may come with persecution, but you want to position your children so that they do better than you and me. Does that make sense? Or is there anybody here you want your children to do less than you? Please do not raise your hand. Amen. The Bible says a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. One of the inheritance and legacy you can leave for your children is for them not only to have wings to fly, but make sure they know the Lord Jesus. Amen. Believe me when I tell you, when you get to heaven, you'll be looking down and be rejoicing that your children are not on the street. They are serving the Lord. If you receive that, say amen.
Amen.
I want to thank all of you for being here. And let me remind you, my brothers, my sisters, we've asked that you please consider helping us to update those screens on the side. It was the best thing in our community until we got this. And now this one, video screen, makes that one look like it's from, well, I won't say what I think. But let's just say those is not as good as this one. So we have to update those one. And then we're going to give those to some other churches that don't have anything yet. See how this thing works? And apparently, pastors have been listening to your church because they have been calling me and say, Pastor, will you please put me down for your screen? It blows my mind. We haven't even got the new screen yet. But that's a good thing, because that tells me they are listening to what God is doing in your church. Thank God for technology.
Amen.
So how are we going to get it? I told you the media ministry said it's going to cost $34,000. Amen. And so I did the math. And I figured out by permission of the Holy Spirit, I need 200 people to give $200 each within the next 200 days. You see how simple my math is? That ought to tell you, your pastor is not very deep in mathematics. So I try to keep it simple. So I want you to be one of those people that God will use. The Bible says, as you pass through this valley of Baca, make it a well. We live in a broken world. So what we are trying to do is to make our world a better place. So within the next 200 days, we need your help to contribute $200. Can I count on you?
Amen.
Amen. And I pray the Lord will bless you and increase you more and more, because you've done a lot. We had a homegoing yesterday in this building, and I was surprised. There was a preacher that was in town, and his name is Reeds. I don't know if he's here or he's gone. And he said, to be honest with you, I never thought there is a black church with this kind of spirit of excellence. That's a serious reflection on you. So let us not be weary in well-doing. There is something called a due season. Amen. We will reap if we don't faint. Part of the assignment God has given this church, and I saw it clearly many years ago, we are supposed to raise the bar for our community. And God would never give you a vision and don't give you provision. You see how good God is? Amen. All minds clear? Now we're going to go into the word of God for a few minutes. Thank you, pastors, for being here. Amen. We appreciate you. One of our sons in the Lord, Reverend Greg Tinney, he is having church anniversary today in his church. And so as many of you are available to support him, please don't hesitate to be there. You certainly have my blessing. And it's going to be, what's the name of the church? Second Nazarene. Praise the Lord. Almost call it Eastern Star. I don't know. Okay, that's Pastor Reed. It's Eastern Star. Well, y'all pray for me. I'll get it together. So, Pastor Tinney is Second Nazarene. Amen. Thank you, all of our guests. We appreciate you. Thank you for being here. I see my colleague, Dr. Oyeyemi, and his lovely wife. We appreciate you being here, sir. What an honor. We are both professors over there at Louisiana Christian University. And his wife is one of those big shots, a Procter Gamble. Amen. So their children sing in the choir. So they come and support your church and support their daughter. Amen. Thank you, Minister Matt, for recruiting out of Procter Gamble. You know I talk too much. If you have your Bible, will you please turn to the book of Romans, chapter 8? Let's go to work. The book of Romans, chapter 8, verse number 14. Because I have all these young people today, I'm going to kind of speak at their level. So, but not only do I want to be a blessing to the younger generation, all of us are children in the kingdom of God. So make sure that you pay attention also and you're blessed. The book is Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Just one verse. The Bible says, "For as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, those ones are the sons and daughters of God." Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for the word of God. Thank you for the blueprint. Thank you for the roadmap. Thank you for pouring your heart so we know where you stand. Thank you for the opportunity to be your sons and your daughters. Holy Spirit, I need your help to explain your word to your people. Not only those who are within these four walls, the there are hundreds and thousands of others live streaming, listening on radio, watching on television, on various platforms of social media. Have your way in this house. Help our hearing. Glorify yourself in this house. Ask for your super on my natural. I'm asking for more of you and less of me. I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. And sure enough, I give you all the praise. In Jesus' name. And the church say, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Our subject for discussion is titled, Are You Really a Christian? I'm talking to you and me this morning. I commend you for being in church. But you can be in church and not be a Christian. So I'm not just talking about you coming to church on Sunday and then you leave any way you want. The rest of the week, 6 days, and then you show up again Sunday morning. That does not make you a Christian. I'm glad you came. And if you hang around long enough, I pray the fire of God will consume all of us for his glory. The question this morning, ladies and gentlemen, are you saved? Put it in another words, are you born again? We need to look into this question. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be born again? What does it mean to be a Christian? Many of you, you've been affiliated with activities in the church. Some of you preach. Hey, don't turn me off. Some of you serve as deacons and deaconesses. You sing in the choir. You teach Sunday school. Some of you even count the money and cook. But does that make you a Christian? So how do you know that you're a Christian? How do you know that you are born again? And on a serious note, if you and I should die today, do you know that you will make heaven? So pay attention. You know, the Lord has delivered me from just traditions of men. This is a serious matter. First of all, let's consider this question. Brother Pastor, why do I need to be saved? What's the big deal about that? Why do I need to be born again? Why do I need to be a Christian? Well, I'm going to keep it simple for the sake of our young people. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse number 1, the Lord declared through his word that in the beginning, it was God who created heaven and earth. Am I right about it? So, you and me, we are part of that creation. Now, but you need to please take note, God didn't just create the world. He said rules. Amen. He said laws. Some of those laws is what is popularly known as the Ten Commandments. Right now in Louisiana, I happen to be a lawyer. I keep up with all the politics and all the other stuff. And right now in Louisiana, your legislature had just voted and the governor signed a law that part of God's rule will be displayed in every school.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
It's called House Bill 71.
All right. Thank you, Lord.
All right? So God has rules and laws in place. But you need to know, ladies and gentlemen, God also said, when you violate his rules, you have committed sin. Those are not my words. The one who made heaven and earth, he sets the rule. I'm just a mailman, just reminding you. The rules applies not just to you, it applies to me also. And he said, when you violate this rule, you have sinned. Quick question. Have you been obeying the rules? Don't lie now. Have you been complying with the rules? Many of you, because I know you, you're going to say, I do. You are lying. Oh, Jesus, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. But so I won't have to depend on your lying. God went ahead and answered that question whether or not you and me have been complying with his rule. In the book of Romans chapter 3, verse 23, God said, all of us have sinned. That includes your pastor. Mm-hmm. All of you wearing white stuff and you put a big hat, you're a lying devil, you're a sinner, just like the rest of us.
Amen.
Have you ever seen some of these church folks? They're trying to tell you as if they've never done wrong. But when they were young, they were the assistant to the devil. Hey, don't turn me off. I told you I didn't call myself. I got a career. I have a day job. This is an assignment from Almighty God. Every one of us, we have sinned. And we fall short of the glory of God. So because all of us have sinned, because all of us have messed up, we need to be saved from what? The wrath of God. Are you listening to me? The wrath of God. The consequence of sin. God is not playing with you or me. I'm not even God. I'm just a human being. But when you get a chance, talk to any of my children. If you break the rules in the house, I'm the king of the house. I will. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Not even your mama can save you from me. Yes, that's how I run my house. You can run your house the way you want to. Yeah, we're going to have a timeout. Yeah, right. We're raising hooligans. They turn around, they come and steal all your jewelry. Oh, Oh, glory. I done preached myself happy already. We need to be saved from the wrath of God, from the penalty of sin. Why is that important? Because the book of Romans, chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Don't miss that. So consequently, we need someone. You cannot save yourself. I cannot save myself. We need someone outside of us to come in and save our behind. See, I got it. Now you see why Jesus come. John 3:16 say, God so loved the world. Am I still in the book? He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe in him, that person will not go down. That person will have everlasting life. So there is a plan in place for all of us to be rescued from the consequences of our sins. See, I got it. To tell you how real this is, you remember when Paul and Silas was locked up in Philippian jail. That's Acts chapter 16, verse 30. Now, there was earthquake. The door swung wide open. The chains were broken. The jailer, the prison warden, he got scared because he thought everybody them run away, escape. But he was shocked to see that all these Negroes, they're still there. Now, a footnote. If I were one of those that were locked up and my chain is broken and the door swing wide open, this African man is gone. I'm saved, but not that saved. But thank God for Paul and Silas. They stayed there. And this is the significance of their staying there, because when the jailer saw that they're still there, he was scared to death. He knew there must be something special about these people to have a way of escape and they're still staying. So in Acts chapter 16, verse 30, he asked the question that I want you all to consider today. You know the question he asked? He said, what must I do to be saved? We need to ask the same question. Honestly, I'm not impressed by your title or your role in the church. All of us must ask the question, what do we need to do to be saved? Now, here is where I have a problem with church people. And you all know your pastor. I'm unique. I've learned to do me. And you do you. If you ask that question, you will get different answers. And that's troubling to me. That can be confusing to these young people. What must I do to be saved? If you call some denominational headquarters, in case you don't know, Central Louisiana has just about every denomination. You all are very good with religion. I said it. Somebody needs to tell the truth in this neighborhood. But having a religion is not good enough. And that is why we're giving conflicting answers to young people. Somebody will tell you, well, you come to the front and shake the preacher's hand. My friend, there's no such thing in the Bible. Another one will tell you, well, just get what they call profession of Christian experience. You don't have Christian experience. You're a sinner. Some people will tell you all you need to do is just fill out a card. Some people will even tell you, just repeat after me, do a sinner's prayer. I see it all the time in church. There is not a single scripture that says if you want to be saved, what you need to do is to do a sinner's prayer. If you're not careful, you will go to hell. In all you're getting, get understanding. Away with all this religious stuff. What does the Bible say concerning getting saved? The only source for the right answer is the Word of God.
Amen.
Not your denomination, not your Christian experience. Some of you have been filling out so many cards, you can make a book out of your cards now. What must I do to be saved? The answer is provided in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? You see how blunt God is answering this question. Then he continued to write, but how shall they call on him whom they don't believe? In case you're making note, the lawyer and me, I have to focus on key facts. Number one, you got to call. Say, I got it. Number two, you can't call unless you believe. Then he goes on to say, and how shall they believe unless they have heard? That's number three. And then he goes on to say, and how shall they hear without a preacher? So the text, the answer God gives is saying it is important for you to call on God in order for you to be saved. Then it is important for you to believe in God in order for you to call on him. If you don't believe him, you won't call. If you call, your call is fake. And then he said, it's important for you to hear in order for you to believe. How are you going to believe what you never heard? And then he says, ladies and gentlemen, it is important for you to hear the gospel. And somebody have to preach that gospel to you. That's why you should try your best not to be rude to the preachers.
Amen.
Your life, 100 million years from now, depends on it. Because not only do you need to be saved in this life, it's a life and death question. Any of you, the reason why you're scared of dying is because you don't know whether you're going to hell. Hey, don't turn me off. But in times like these, you need to be sure and be very sure. Amen. Now, let me look at this question of you need to believe. I'm just taking a side note now. What do you need to believe? Number one, you need to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. In other words, you have to believe that Jesus is God. Away with all this religious stuff. I don't have time for that. See, I'm 65 now. You see, I'm getting to the point. I'll just tell you, take it or leave it. Don't get caught in all this theatrical discussion. Oh, Jesus is just one way. Where there's another way. Where? You better get it right. The word of God say, Jesus declare, I am the only way. Got to deal with that. Not only do you need to believe in the deity of Jesus Christ, if you really want to be saved, you also need to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, ladies and gentlemen, before you go around and say, I believe. See? Sounds good. We can shake our booty on it. But you really need to ask the question, do I really believe the deity of Jesus Christ? Now you see why he said in the rule, thou shalt have no other God beside. Some of you, you join all these crazy clubs, secret societies. You have all these. One of these days, God will turn me loose. Now I'll go after every demonic activities in Central Louisiana. You got to believe Jesus is not just God. He's the only way. You cannot be cold and warm. You cannot have your feet in the world and have your feet in the kingdom and you try to walk. The devil is a lie. Praise the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, you got to believe that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again. Amen. For the sake of time, you know, another thing you need to do to be saved is found in the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 9. You see, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart. You see that word again, believe. That God raised him from the dead, that's resurrection. You shall be what? See, I didn't write that. So let me quickly summarize it. If you really want to know today whether you are saved or not, there are 5 steps you got to go through to be saved. Forget all the card you come. You're right. Forget the preacher's hand. Amen. He might have not washed the hand anyway. They don't make preachers like this no more. What are these 5 steps? Number one, in order for you to be saved, you must hear the gospel. Number two, you must believe the gospel. Number three, you must recognize that you have screwed up in life. You need to repent. Number four, you must confess with your mouth. And number five, you must be baptized. Everybody, not few, everybody who got saved in the Bible got baptized. Forget all your denominational stuff. Who are these people anyway? They don't know squab. So the question must be asked this morning. Have you heard the gospel? Do you believe the gospel you've heard? Have you repented of your sins? Have you confessed with your mouth? That's right, Pastor. With your mouth. And have you been baptized? You'll be amazed how many of you are singing in the choir, serving the deacons, and you've not even been baptized. You better thank God every day that Pastor Dara is not your God. I'll come to your house with a baseball bat while you are, I'll hit your head just for playing game with the Lord. Today, during invitation period, if you have heard the gospel, and if you believe the gospel, and if you repent in your heart, or you're willing to do that today, and of course, if you confess with your mouth, and you want to be baptized, let me make you a deal. If you will come today and say, Brother Pastor, I want to be baptized. Or Brother Pastor, I was baptized in 1902. Nobody break it down like you're doing here. Now I got it for the first time. And I want to be sure and be very sure. So I want to get it right this time. My commitment to you is that if you will come after this service, I myself will get in that water and set you a date and will baptize everyone. I am so committed that every member of this church will go to heaven. All your church programs, can I be brutally honest with you? It don't impress me one bit. Not a single one. If I have to open my heart to you, it's good to keep everybody happy. And okay, we're going to go do Father's Day. We're going to do Chicken Day. And 100 men in black. And, oh, just make my head hurt just sometimes. This is where the rubber meets the road. And if you will come, I'll set a date. And I will get in that water. I don't care if it's 1 million people. You don't even have to be a member of this church. You say, Brother Pastor, I heard it. I got it now. I want to be sure and be very sure. If you get it, say amen. Let me try to summarize this thing. Ooh, I got so much to say. When I told you everybody that got saved, got baptized, let me show you some evidence. That's what lawyers do in court, you know. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 12, Deacon Philip went to Samaria. He preached. Guess what the scriptures say? Men and women who got saved, they were what? They were baptized. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 38. Pastor Peter preached the gospel, and 3,000 people got saved. And every one of them, when they asked, "What do we need to do to be saved?" Peter said, "Repent of your sin and be baptized." Everyone, not few of you. Everyone. That's why I said, if you did it long time ago without understanding, you cannot gamble with heaven. You know, I told you, you need to repent. What does it mean to repent? The Bible says, because this is something that most church folks, they use these big words, but they never read the Bible. I don't understand that part. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 and 29, the story was told, Jesus talking to them about repentance. He said there was a father who had two sons, and he asked them to go work in his vineyard. Guess what one of those dudes says? "I'm not going." Mm-hmm. But the Bible says later on he changed his mind. That's repentance there. Repentance is not just saying, "I repent." Anybody can say that. You sisters, if your husband tells you, "I repent," that's a lying devil. See, what you need to look for is a change. Don't go back to that man. "I said it." Yes, I said it. Until you see change, there's no repentance. Now you see why your pastor don't have too many friends. Somebody needs to tell the truth. Repentance means a change of heart. Amen. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 10, repentance again is explained. The Bible calls it godly sorrow. The Bible says godly sorrows produces what? Repentance. Notice what I'm telling you repentance is? Three things. Number one, a change of heart. Number two, godly sorrows. And number three, people that repent produce what we call fruits of repentance. Amen, somebody. Say, "I got it." So with the heart, man believes. With the mouth, confession is made unto righteousness. What do we mean that you confess? That you open your mouth and say to the Lord, "I'm coming home." Like the prodigal son, he came to himself. "I've wandered far, far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Lord, I'm coming, coming home. Coming home, coming home, never, never more. Lord, I'm coming. I'm coming home. God is speaking to somebody's heart this morning. If you will humble yourself and give God a chance in your life, He will come in and serve with you. Acts chapter 10, verse 47, Brother Cornelius and his whole family, they heard the gospel. They believed the gospel. They repent of their sins. They confess with their mouth. And they were baptized. The whole family. In the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 15, you see the story of Miss Lydia. She heard the gospel. She believed the gospel. She repented of her sins. She confessed with her mouth. And she and her whole house were baptized. You know what I'm trying to tell you today? If you really want to be saved, you can make that decision today. Let me end on this note. It's not enough for you to be saved. God is inviting you and me to be a Christian. Many people are saved, but they're not a Christian. You know why? Because being a Christian requires that you live certain ways. Are you attending church? Are you worshiping God on a regular basis? Are you giving? One of the laws is called reciprocity. You don't have to be a genius to understand that. You give, you receive. You plant, you harvest. You'll be amazed how many people profess to be a Christian, but they don't give.
Amen.
The Bible said, if you will even help the poor, Proverbs 19:17, chapter 19, verse 17, if you will help the poor, God said, you lend to God, and He will repay you back. Say, if you give, it shall be given to you. These are what make Christians unique. If you're not doing that, you just a freeloader.
Amen.
Yes, I said it. You're not working, you're not doing anything in the kingdom of God. You're not a Christian until you're willing to give your all.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? Are you really a Christian? Ask yourself three questions. Do you really believe in the gospel? Do you have a sense of His presence? I'm talking about the Holy Spirit leading you and guiding you every day. Do you have remorse when you do wrong? Is God empowering you, enabling you, comforting you, leading you and guiding you every day? These are symptoms of who is a Christian. Do you have fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness. Some of the meanest righteous snake in the world are in the church. You are not a Christian. meekness. Meekness. Self-control. These are things that is unique to Christians. Are you the one who always cause a mess in the church? The Bible says six things God hates. The seventh is an abomination. That's somebody who sows seed of discord among the brethren. Every time there's a mess in the church, your name is there. You ain't no Christian. You're going straight to hell. As much as it depends on you, be at peace with every man. It's your desire to be holy. It's your desire to be righteous. Or are you the type you drink all week? And then Sunday morning, you put some breath mint on you. Who are you playing with? And some of you have the audacity to be pastor in a church. That's why I'm so glad I'm not your God. Let me hand on this note. I'm not saying Christians are perfect. I'm not saying Christians are sinless. Christians even do struggle. Christians even do fall. But what separates them from the rest of the world, even when they fall, they get back up. Hallelujah. They can fall two times, three times, four times, seven times. They're going to get back up. Because God is working it out. Do I have a witness in the house? I got to stop. I'm out of time. Every one of you, stand to your feet. I'm not inviting you, come down, shake my hand. No. Forget my hand. I done break all the Baptist rule today. But if you're here, you say, Brother Pastor, I need to be baptized. Find your way to the altar right now. If you're here today, you say, Brother Pastor, I'm not taking any chance no more. I hear the word. I believe the word. I repent of all my mistakes. I confess with my mouth. I want to be baptized. Somebody else is coming. Come on, give the Lord a clap of offering. Hallelujah. Some of you pastors, come up here. Hallelujah. I want to thank God. The word of God is like a two-edged sword. Don't go through life just having good religion. After today, the blood is not in my hand. Hallelujah. Everybody spread your hands towards this altar. Every one of you repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I thank you. I heard your word. I believe your word. I believe that God sent you to this world to die for my sin. I repent of my sins. I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. Your word said, if I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, that God sent you to die for my sin, I am saved. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for redeeming my soul. Thank you for giving me another chance. It is so. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord God a clap off. Come on, you can do better than that. Hallelujah. Lord, we bless you. And we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for your presence in this house. Lord, I lift up my brothers, my sisters. I pray, oh God, that you will bless them. I pray, oh God, that you will keep them. I pray, oh God, that you will minister to their needs. I pray, oh God, that you will lead them and guide them. And I thank you for it. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. By faith, we decree and we declare, all is well. In Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Open your mouth, shout amen.
Amen.
Say amen again.
Amen.
God bless you. Pastors, please get some information so we can follow up. And I want to thank every one of you for your willingness to study the word of God with me. I wish you a wonderful weekend. Please keep on celebrating Jesus. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, I pray that you will rest, rule, and abide with every one of us from now on and forevermore. And the church say, amen. God bless you.